Hello and welcome to the Andy Man Podcast. My name is Andy.
And I am Andy.
How you doing tonight?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, real good.
I think we should start doing an extra tagline, something about dialogue in the dungeon or something like that.
Like D&D?
No, not like D&D. No dice involved.
Oh, okay. Like, okay.
That would get noisy.
That would get really... This microphone picks up everything, so...
It really does. But still doesn't pick up enough.
Yeah. But so what are we talking about today?
Well, I guess we're going to continue our discussion on spiritual warfare.
Yeah, so last episode we kind of... It was kind of a heavier discussion. Like, we didn't really have any lighter moments or that many. And it was just, we didn't really get into the scriptures as much. Usually we like to...
I basically told some stories about my spiritual warfare experiences.
Yeah, so, and we talked a lot about, like, transgenderism, how he gave some examples of, like, how it's running rampant in the world today. And
well, no, it appears to be running rampant.
True.
It's this tiny minority with a huge megaphone. Mm-hmm. It only seems like everyone's talking about it.
That's true.
Or is dealing with it. In reality, there aren't that many people who are actually transgender. Well, there's no one who's actually transgender. There's actually a very small number of people who are claiming to be transgender.
Right. Well, there is that one stat now that says like 1 in 4 students are LGBTQ, LMNOP, plus sign, dollar sign. I don't know.
Yeah, it's being crammed down their throats at school a lot of times.
Definitely being groomed that way.
So. One of my friends from work was complaining that there's talk at his school, at his kids' school, to install litter boxes for the kids who want to believe that they're animals.
Furries,
yes.
Yeah, my one kid said that he saw a litter box in one of the janitor's closets, and I don't know why it was there. I hope it's not because there's a furry there or something. Or I don't know. The school is weird now. You know, we have those conversations, though. We tell them, you know, this could happen at your school. Just so you know, this is right. This what's happening at school is not right. You know, when we tell them a biblical perspective, and we pray about it all the time. So,
yeah, I have to wonder how different I would be if my parents had done a little bit more praying over me all the time. I definitely dropped the ball with my kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we pray every night as a family.
Good.
You know, we pray for protection and, you know, God would just guide them, protect them. And I have to pray. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable sending them to the public schools right now, but we're kind of at the point where...
You're kind of stuck with
it. Yeah, we kind of have to, so... Anyway, I want to go into scripture on this episode because we kind of left it hanging on the last episode, I felt. So
yeah.
But there's a lot of good scripture about spiritual warfare, and I want to really delve into those.
Okay.
So we can read some, chat about it, see how it applies, if it does, and go from there.
I believe you have the wrong book on this first one. I believe that's Ephesians 6:10-20, not Romans 6.
Oh, you know
6.
What? You are right. I was doing a lot of copying and pasting. I think I don't know why I put Romans.
That's all right.
Good catch.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And ask for me, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
There is. There is. I've heard several teachings on the armor of God, but let's hear what you've learned.
Yeah, so it's not like a literal armor. I mean, it's talking about...
No, it's clearly allegorical.
Yeah, so it's truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God. All those are things we really need to focus on and embrace and equip ourselves with those every single day. I mean, that's the whole armor of God right there. So, and I think why people are struggling so much in this day and age is like they don't have that armor of God on them.
Yeah. I mean, they're like me. I've been, most of my life, I've been like, oh, yeah, okay, armor of God. La di da di da. Woo da doo doo la di da. Wah! Most of my life, that's what I've been like. Do-do-do-do, not really believing that any of this is real.
Yeah, we talked about that last episode, how it's like we're not even acknowledging like the Satan's powers, you know, and it's like...
Yeah. And it's taken the last few years to really open my eyes to see how real this crap really is.
Have you ever read the book, This Present Darkness?
Yes, I did.
Frank Party. I read that one a long time ago. And it's not really like it's a cool story, a real cool story, but yeah. But it's not like a biblical, it's not accurate, like it's...
Yeah, I don't...
I mean, I guess, I mean, like, you know, when you pray more and all of a sudden the angels are, you know, punching demons or something, like, I don't know if that's... Like,
yeah, I think there is some... I think my big takeaway from that book was the idea that the angels act and God acts in response to our prayers.
Yeah, they're emboldened. And
yeah, I mean, if we're not asking for stuff, they're not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a cool story. You know, my one kid's reading it right now, so...
Yeah, it's been a couple decades since I've read it.
That's an old book. It came out in the 80s, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe the 90s.
Maybe, yeah.
The 80s and the 90s all kind of bleed together in my mind.
But This Present Darkness, that's such a... I don't know if that was used in Darkness of This Age. I think that's what it was called in this version.
Yeah.
The Darkness of... Yeah, so This Present Darkness, man, that's like a... I feel like we're really in a dark
place
now.
Especially in this state. Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's all more important to put on the whole armor of God. Like, I mean, it's not going to go away. It's not, evil's just not going to disappear.
No, not just because we say, I don't like this.
Right.
No, we have to get out there and drive it out.
And something that, like, jumped out at me on screen at this time, it says, so he does all these things and he's able to be... an ambassador in chains that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I wonder if he didn't always speak boldly, if he was doubting himself, if he was afraid to stand up against evil.
I don't know. I don't think I ever, don't recall ever reading an incident where Paul backed down.
No, he didn't. But like, I wonder if he battled that though. Like, I just...
Well, maybe before he met Jesus. Maybe he did.
I don't know, maybe. I mean, he put it there that I maybe speak boldly as I ought to speak. So he put it in there for...
I don't know.
For some reason, I don't know. Just kind of jumped all over there when I was reading it again. Yeah, well,
really, truth is important.
Yeah.
One of the teachings I remember hearing about this armor of God stuff is girded your waist with the truth, with truth. That holds everything together. The truth, it holds your, you know, holds your sword belt on. It's right.
Holds your pants up.
Holds your pants up. Holds your, and it helps hold your breastplate in place. Mm-hmm. Without the truth, you're vulnerable. Even if you have, and without the truth, you basically don't have access to the rest of it.
And there's so many lies today. You can't even watch, like, I mean, I don't watch like news or TV as much anymore, but like,
no,
you know, whatever comes from the mainstream media, I just assume it's a lie now.
Me too.
I can't take it for truth, for like, it's
so
deceptive, and people are eating it up all the time.
Yeah, they're blatantly lying, and
they're gaslighting, and
people are believing every word that comes out of these newscasters' mouths.
Yeah,
and they don't deserve to be believed.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you definitely need that discernment. I think that's a good word. You know, being able to figure out what's right and what's wrong, and just to call lies for what they are. I mean, you have to be able to point that out. I mean, you can't just believe everything you hear. I'll read the next passage, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. For we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Every time I read that verse 4 about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, in my mind's eye, I imagine a man kneeling at the base of a wall, a stone fortress wall, and he's kneeling in a posture of prayer, but as he's holding this big spike in his hands with a point at the wall, and there's this huge hammer swinging down towards that spike.
Ooh. Wow. That's quite the visual there.
Yeah.
Man, this is a powerful verse, the verse 4. For weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds.
Yeah.
How many strongholds are going on today?
There's a lot. I've identified one in my count, at least one in my county, in my city. Mm-hmm. I believe strongholds are put up as a result of lies.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's define a stronghold. What is a stronghold?
Well, it's another word for fortress. It's a system of beliefs that people hold that defines reality for them, defines their beliefs, defines what they're going to fight for and what they're going to fight against.
Yeah, and people are taking that hard stance on these issues, and
and
then it goes right to the next verse 5, says casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
Didn't Jesus say something about when he talked to Peter, the gates of hell will not
prevail against
The gates of hell won't be able to stand against the church, because that was back when he said, Simon, I call you Peter, because on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to withstand it. That means we're supposed to be on the offense. Gates are a defensive weapon. They are a defensive measure, trying to keep the enemy out. So if we're storming the gates of hell, that means we are on the offense.
Sword of the Spirit.
Sword of the Spirit is
is
both defensive and offensive. You can use it to parry, and you can also use it to attack.
Yeah, it's a two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
So And that's the word of God.
And who is the word of God?
With Jesus.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, these are, and I keep kind of zeroing in on these, like, verses, and I'm kind of, like, reading them again, and
I'll read them out loud as you're reading them again.
Well, I'll read, well, the next one's, like, 1 Peter. Do you want to read that one, or should I?
All right, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. My pastor recently pointed out that the devil is not a roaring lion. He is like a roaring lion. He's not actually a lion.
Mm, yeah.
That image belongs to the Lion of Judah. Satan is trying to imitate the Lion of Judah.
Isn't he also like called like the Angel of Light too?
Yes.
So he's very deceiving.
Yep.
That's why we need to be alert.
Yeah. And we need to be alert for people, wolves in sheep's clothing, that come out and preach. They're preaching about Jesus, but they may or may not be actually preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of well-respected religious leaders that I have found out aren't everything they say they are.
Right.
I'm not entirely sure Franklin Graham is really who he says he was.
A lot of these you know big mega church pastors, you know, it's they like jets and limousines and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't know if they're in it for the right reasons or not, but
I was watching a Mike Winger video today, and he was going on about some of the false teachings Kenneth Copeland has been passing out.
Yeah. The prosperity gospel.
Yeah, and he showed a video clip where Kenneth Copeland pretends he's cutting his palm of his hand and dripping blood into the communion cup, and then his elder next to him does the same thing. They're not actually cutting their hand, but they're miming it and then squeezing his blood into his communion cup, and then they pour the two cups together into one cup, and
it's just bizarre.
I don't remember exactly all the words, but it was blasphemous. Talking about my blood is in you, your blood is in me, blood of Jesus is in both. I'm like, there's something wrong here. That sounds satanic.
Be alert and of a sober mind. I mean, you need a sober mind so you can be able to recognize what's right and what's wrong. I mean, the truth and lies. Like I think people are just so gullible. Is that the right word to say? Like, just
deceived.
Definitely deceived. But
a lot of people don't. It seems like they don't want to think for themselves.
It's almost like too easy to deceive people now. Like, yeah. They're not even pushing back. Like how many? Like we talked about this before in this podcast, but like during COVID, how many churches just shut the doors?
Yeah.
Like too many. Like way too many. Yeah, and it's like
The phrase I kept hearing was out of an abundance of caution.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Give me a break. Although I really can't be too critical because I was buying into it at the time too.
Yeah, we all were. Well, not all of us, but like,
asking questions, but I'm still going, all right, well, we'll be careful.
Well, that's when all you're hearing on the news is like, and you see the scroll on the bottom of the TV, you know, how many people have died and how many new cases are in the hospital and there's no more hospital beds. Like, it's all you're hearing all day, every day for.
And it turns out that the only reason they were out of hospital beds is because they were short on staff.
Right.
That's how hospital capacity is determined.
Right.
How many staff they have, not how many actual beds they have.
And we also learned how those numbers were manipulated too, you know. Yep. It's like people have died with COVID. That doesn't mean they died from COVID.
Right. and the number of flu cases was almost nothing.
Right.
It was in the, you know, normally 20, in the 20,000s, and in 2020 there was, it didn't even break 10,000. Mm-hmm. I don't think it even broke 5,000 cases of the flu.
Right.
And then in 2021, the same thing. 2 years, almost no flu. And all this COVID crap.
Yeah. It's, people are so easily deceived.
Like, I guess, it was all a lie. Trump tried to tell us it's just the flu. But.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it was hard. I mean, people were convinced. I think all of us were convinced in some way or another that this is.
There was something to it.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I determined before it even came to the United States, because they kept talking about it, like, you know, I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to be afraid of this thing. Like, I'm.
Yeah, good for you.
I just before it even came to the United States, you know, like, I remember, what is coronavirus? You know, I remember Googling that, and they're like, well, it's just a very common virus, you know, people get all the time, you know, and it's, you know, very minor symptoms usually, and I was like, why am I making a big deal about this? Like, I don't know. I decided I wasn't gonna be afraid of it, and I'm still not afraid of it. So
good.
So your enemy is the devil, prowls like a roaring lion. But then we read James 4:7 in the last episode. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Yeah. Jesus also talked about, remember when he sent out the 70 disciples and they came back rejoicing about how even the devils had to listen to them, and they cast out a lot. But then a man came with his son saying, my son has a demon. Your disciples tried to cast it out, but they couldn't. And Jesus said, well, this type only comes out by prayer and fasting. Hmm. So when we're engaging in spiritual warfare, we need to keep that in mind and do prayer and fasting, because I think a lot of these demons that we're going to be fighting against, are fighting against, are very deeply entrenched. And it's going to take some serious leverage to get them out.
Do you believe that the demons and, you know, Satan can, like, read your mind? Like,
no.
Know where you're.
No. I think through careful observation, they can get a pretty good idea of what you're thinking.
Right.
Based on, you know,
previous actions.
Previous actions, history, and observable acts. Who knows? Maybe even just keeping a straight face is enough. It will help keep them from trying to understand what's going on inside your mind.
I remember we were talking about this in a Bible study. This is years ago at church, and the instructor, the teacher, he asked us that question, and we're all kind of thinking, well, maybe he does. We don't know. I mean, it seems like his aim is precise sometimes, like, you know, and then he's like, even if he does, so what? I mean, maybe think about it. I was like, wow, that's like. I mean, there's reading all these verses, you know, like, if you're fully armed, you know, and you can resist this, you know, all these things, you know, who cares if you can read your mind? It shouldn't matter. And as I kind of changed my perspective, I'm like, man, that's.
Oh, like, yeah, that is perspective changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what? Just think how that can. That question, so what? Just change your mind on something. So.
Yeah. Definitely some thought for chewing on.
Exodus 14:14. This is one of my favorite verses when I was like a teenager growing up. So this was when, you know, during the Exodus, Pharaoh let all the Israelites go, and then he changed his mind. They're chasing after him, and the Israelites are freaking out, and you know, then Moses said, the Lord will fight for you. You need to only be still. That's Exodus 14:14.
No. I just recently got done reading all that. I'm in Deuteronomy right now. Mm-hmm. But so this is fairly fresh in my mind, or at least it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so right before they were about to cross the Red Sea.
Right.
And, I mean...
And the Israelites were being brought out of Egypt, but there was still a lot of Egypt in them. Mm-hmm. As I was reading that, in light of my recent revelation to myself that I haven't really believed in the power of God.
Right.
I realized as I was reading that, I thought, I've looked on the Exodus account more as a fairy tale as I growing up in my life.
Right.
When it's not, this actually happened.
It's a historical account.
It is a historical account. This actually happened. And, you know, just thinking that helps build my faith for today. Because I can look back, I can look at that and say, if that really happened, and it did, then what's not possible today?
Yeah, I mean, God's still God and Satan's still Satan. Like,
right.
I mean,
we've limited ourselves severely by limiting our faith with such doctrines as dispensationalism and cessation doctrine. Well, the gifts were active in the old during the early church period, but those have ceased. And people that believe that even give scripture. In it's actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I think, where he talks. It's right after the fruit of the Spirit. Because where there are tongues, they will cease. Because what until the. I'm not quoting this exactly, but something to the effect of, we see through a dark glass, darkly now, then we will see face to face. When perfection has come, then these gifts will cease. And one of my uncles said, see, it says right there, these gifts will cease when perfection comes. When the Bible, as the canon of the Bible was established at the Nicene Council, that was when perfection was achieved and the gifts ceased.
Yeah, I've been listening to a Remnant Radio podcast, and they're talking about the whole, are all these gifts like they ceased? You know, they've been used up already, and they bring up the question of, are you cautious but open about these things? And sometimes people are open to some of these, but they're just very, very cautious about it.
Right.
And they're arguing that's not even a biblical stance either.
No.
We should be open always.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, I've limited God in my life for far too long by my refusal to believe in His actual power.
Yeah. I've been there too. I mean, for sure. I mean, when you don't like see these, all these miracles happen in the Bible, but you don't see them like every day. Like, we can read all these miracles, healings and everything all the time in the Bible and the New Testament there. And it's like, well, why isn't this happening today? Or how come I'm not observing it?
Right.
Like they were back then. Like I
just, right. So we start coming up with excuses why we're not seeing miracles.
Right.
And the biggest reason why is because we're double-minded. We say we believe things, but we really don't.
Yeah.
Because if we believed it, then we would be different. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world."
Yeah, this verse comes up very often. What's the context?
Who's the them in that?
We can bring it up. But this is a verse that we read often on this podcast. We've heard it several times, and I think it's this definitely applies for this whole spiritual warfare thing. Like, you know, all this craps going on all over the place. All these quote-unquote elected leaders and...
Yeah, selected.
Exactly. And all these Faucis and all these World Economic Forum guys, like all these crazy people all over the world trying to dictate our lives. And it's just like, God is greater than those guys. All of them put together.
Absolutely.
And I think that we just need to keep, I need to remind myself of that. Like, it's hard for me to, or I should say, it's easy for me to forget that sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, these men are absolutely bonkers, insane. Mm-hmm. That Klaus Schwab guy.
Yeah.
And Yuval Noah Harari is an advisor, a chief advisor to Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. He is absolutely insane. Humans are hackable animals. We can get in there with electronics and then we can control you. It's bonkers.
And he's not...
He's serious.
I don't think he's like... When he says that, I don't think he's like wrong. It is easy to control people.
Well, yeah. He's talking about transhumanism. Putting in nanobots and electronic things. Yep. And getting into your brain. Yeah, humans are... We're very controllable. God created us to be in submission to Him. Mm-hmm. And we have perverted that desire and made it... our desire to be in submission to other humans.
Yeah, instead of submitting to God, like we read in James 4:7, we're submitting to people.
Right.
Evil people.
Right. They don't own us.
They have no power over us.
No, not really.
I mean, we give them power.
We give them power, but the reality is they actually don't have power. Mm-hmm. Except for that which we give them.
Yeah.
And we've been fooled into giving these demons and the people that they control power.
So. Yeah, I wonder how many demons there are. Like, in.
I remember one church service I went to a long time ago with my first wife. The preacher was talking about being accused of thinking there's a demon behind every bush. And he said, "No, I don't believe there's a demon behind every bush. I believe there's at least 5 or 10.
Yeah. Man. So. I wonder, man. I don't know. It's crazy because, like, I mean, we both talk about, we just didn't acknowledge this power that could even exist, you know, but now it's just like, well, we know there's power out there.
I know. I'm just reminded of another incident of spiritual warfare I experienced. And I'm going, why don't I remember this stuff all the time? Me and my first wife, we were having a hard time getting along with each other. Mm-hmm. But we were praying, and then we both decided, you know what, we're gonna go around, we're gonna kick all the demons out of our house, make sure they're out. And we were just praying, and we both had our eyes closed. And we bonked our heads together as we reached for the same demon at the same time.
Wow.
And we knocked each other, and I told her what I saw in my mind's eye, and she said, "I saw the same thing."
Whoa.
In my mind's eye.
How could you forget something like that?
I know. I know. And I divorced her.
Wow. Man. Yeah, I mean, that's something to think about.
Yeah. Of course, I wasn't getting rid of all the demons that were on me. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to acknowledge that they were there, because then that would have made me look like a bad Christian boy.
So the last episode, you talked about how when the woman was praying for you and she saw like a skull with like
yellow eyes. I saw, in my mind, saw them, yeah.
So now this was after
that was after I divorced my first wife, yes.
Okay. Wow.
And I forgot to include in that story that after that, those sessions and an all-night prayer meeting with my dad where we went through all the levels of Freemasonry and broke off all the curses of Freemasonry all the way up to level 33. We broke them all off. My struggle with addiction to porn was noticeably less difficult.
Okay.
Noticeably. So, anyhow.
Well, I want to, this is pretty heavy.
Yeah, it is.
Heavy stuff. Psalm 91, I was reading that today, man. It was just kind of summed up everything here. Are you able to pull it up, or I can pull it up? Sorry, I don't have it.
Well, you gotta have your Bible scripture for later on ready to go.
Yeah, okay, yep. So Psalm 91.
I'll pull up Psalm 91. You know, what's really sad is that even though it's on my phone, I have to struggle to find where Psalms is.
Yes.
Because the list is goofy. Psalm 91. Mm-hmm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I shall satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Yeah, man, that's
a lot of promises there.
It's all encouraging, man. Like,
it really is.
You know, just He's the God that you can lean on. You can count on God in all this.
Yeah.
I mean, He strengthens us. He protects us. He, I don't know, He deflects all these arrows that are coming at us, you know. It's like,
I think we need to commit some of, I think I need to memorize Psalm 91. I think we all need to do some memorization, because there might be a time coming very shortly where we won't have access to the Word at our fingertips like this. Mm-hmm. And we may not even have access to it on an actual page either. Mm. And the more we have in our mind, the better off we'll be.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so if you're listening to this and you're going through some stuff, and it's just, let that chapter, Psalm 91, like, just encourage you, man. It's the Word of God. Let it encourage you. Let it lift you up. And hold on to that, man. Like, it's just, it's so easy to be deceived, so easy to be discouraged in this life, and it's just, you got to hold on to what is true.
Yeah.
Hold on to God.
I've been getting rather discouraged lately, looking around. Mm-hmm. But this week at work has Actually, that's right. That was just yesterday. That stuff happened. That was just yesterday.
Okay. Yeah.
And that really, just taking those steps of faith to just open my mouth and speak what the Holy Spirit was telling me to say, mm-hmm. is lit a fire under me again, I think.
Well, that kind of goes to that. Like Paul is saying that you may speak boldly as you ought to speak.
Right.
So I think we all need to remember that too. I mean, sometimes I don't speak up when I know I should.
Yeah. So, well, I think we're going to wrap this up here, eh?
Eh?
Maybe.
Take off, you hoser.
Well, thank you, dear listener, for listening. Without listeners, there's nothing for us to say. Wait. I'm taking a page from Word Salad Queen.
There you go.
Without listeners, we're just talking into empty air. That's what we're doing. Yeah. And each other. There is that to be said. Just this conversation has been encouraging to me.
Me too.
Even if no one else listens to this.
I'm getting something out of it at least. So.
Yeah. So. We're going to keep doing this whether you listen to us or not.
That's right.
We might take a break here and there. But anyway, so please share the podcast with someone. Make a comment. And
email us. Do we have email still?
I got to find my password.
Okay.
But yeah, the HandymanPodcast@protonmail.com.
Good. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
Amen. Oh, and subscribe.
Yes.